got to stay up there for a minute.
Oh, I'm a prop.
So I went on vacation. And with my brothers on our hunting land in Minnesota,
I thought you were going to say honeymoon.
I put up a 20-foot tree stand. Is that where you're going to be to shoot the deer this fall?
Is that 20 feet in the air?
Yes.
No, sir, I'm going to be on the ground. I don't mind.
I can't even imagine you being outside with a gun. He's had a gun for a long time. He hasn't gone outside, but he has a gun.
I have had that rifle for quite a few years. A wonderful man gave it to me because he found out that I didn't own the weapon at the time.
So, I was reading the Bible reading plan this week. Deer hunting's not until this fall.
Oh, I was just wondering.
I don't know if you know that or not. You buy a license, and then you go out when the license says you can. You just don't go wandering around shooting deer.
That's terrible.
You know,
says you.
Says me, yeah. Says you. Okay, let's get back to the offering. I was reading in the Bible reading this week, and something God impressed me on about something, and I want to read this to you guys and talk about it for a second. And I'm in 2 Samuel 6, and I'm starting in verse 12, and it says, "Now King David was told, 'The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom in everything he has, because of the Ark of God.' So David went up and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and with the sound of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart." And it struck me that if you decide in your heart that you're being led of God to tithe and to be a giver and to believe in the blessing, this is exactly what's going to happen to you. People who you thought should understand and should know about the blessing of God are going to criticize you and are going to criticize others. And that is why when we choose to do something for the Lord, just like David, all David was doing was rejoicing before the Lord with all of his might. He had clothes on. He wasn't undressed. He just wasn't wearing his kingly robes. And that offended Michal, who, by the way, was his wife. So the very people that you think would be rejoicing that you have chosen to follow God, that you've chosen to be obedient for God, are some of the people who will criticize you because of your belief in giving, in tithing, and in the blessing. And I just thought it was amazing that the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was being brought into the city of Jerusalem. You would think that everybody would have just been shouting and joyful and glad. But there were, let's just say this, there were Christians watching from the window that weren't part of the rejoicing, that weren't happy. Because they didn't understand the rejoicing. Because they weren't part of the rejoicing, so they didn't understand the rejoicing. And that's exactly how it is when we begin to decide that we're going to tithe and that we're going to give to God. But more than that, when we decide that we're going to tithe and we're going to give and we're going to believe in the blessing of God on our lives, Okay? And that is why it's so important for each of us to individually be led of God in obedience to God's word. You know, when God's word tells us something, we should put our hand on it and we should say, okay, God, I'm doing this in obedience to you. And not only am I doing this in obedience to you, but I'm going to inherit. I am going to inherit what you promise me through this obedience. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you very much that tonight you still lead us and you still guide us by your Holy Spirit, Father. And as we hang on to you, as we believe in your word and trust in you, God, the promises that you've given us will come true in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Notes. How y'all doing this evening? Good, amen. It's good to be alive today. Thank you. Great to be alive in the house of God. Amen. But thank God we don't have to wait till we get here to do this. Y'all realize that we only spend maybe 2 to 3 hours a week at church? That's it. And the rest of the time we do what we want. Amen. That's interesting, ain't it? Just talk a little bit about what Brother Earl was talking about. Turn over to Mark 10, please. We'll pray. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. And I thank you for the word this evening. I thank you, Father God, my lips will be as a clay. Father God, bringing forth truths from your word this evening that you would not only have for this congregation, but also for myself. And I thank you, Holy Ghost. You are the helper, the standby, the advocate, but the helper, the teacher, unveiling and unfolding truths to us from the word this evening. Because I thank you, Father God, once we honor what we have light on, the Holy Ghost reveals more to us. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for it, Father God. We thank you for the unveiling of the word this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to feed our faith this evening. Hallelujah. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said,
amen.
Amen. Let's start. Y'all went to Mark 10. Go to verse 28. We'll start there. Then Peter began to say unto him, everybody there? Okay. Then Peter began to say unto him, see, we have left all and what? Followed you. Next. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There is no one. Who? Who?
No one.
There is no one. No one means no one. Amen. It's not some big preacher. It's anyone. Because he's saying anyone who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or child, children or lands for what?
My sake and the gospel.
It's interesting that he said not just for his sake, but also for the what?
Gospel.
What is the gospel?
Good news.
The good news. It's the good news. If you're sick, what's good news for that?
Being healed.
Healing. If you're broke, what's good news for that? Interesting that he's pointed out specifically for my sake and not just for my sake, not just to let everybody know that you're a follower of me, but also for the gospel.
Yes.
The gospel.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Next. Who shall not receive 100-fold now?
Now.
When?
Now.
Now. In this time. And then this amen, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with what?
Persecution.
See, we'll claim the houses and everything else, but when we get to the persecutions, we want to stop.
Yes.
I ain't claiming that. You ain't got to claim it. Like Earl was saying, once you start prospering and doing good, it's coming. Because number one, the word of God says it.
Yes.
And it just lets you know. So then when it does come, we shouldn't be shocked by it. It shouldn't rattle us and throw us off.
Amen. Amen.
Not if we already know the answer. Look, there's going to come persecution. Let them talk. Let them do what they feel they need to do. I'm going to continue to follow God and the plan that God has, not only for me, but for Spirit Life Church, regardless of what everybody else wants to do. Everybody else can do what they need to do or what they think they're supposed to be doing. But as for me and Spirit Life Church, we're following the plan of God.
Amen.
So whenever persecutions come, we shouldn't be rattled.
Amen.
We shouldn't even, matter of fact, you know, you really shouldn't even get upset over it.
Amen.
Because now we're getting out of love.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep. Brother Copeland, he said that he had some of his workers, just sometimes we just do things ignorantly, you know, just not really realizing. They'd bring him magazines sometimes, and the people just dogging him, just talking about him. And he'd get mad, and God finally told him, he said, look, you're either going to have to deal with this, or you're just going to have to live this way. He's like, what? He's like, you're going to have to stop, number one, watching anything that has to do with you.
Yeah.
Number two, you're going to have to stop reading anything that they'd say about you, because it's affecting your love walk. And once your love walk's affected, it's open. Now we're giving the adversary a what? An opportunity. Right? Because once we get out of the umbrella of love. And so he said, I had to fix it. He said, I had to stop reading things that everybody said about me. Because to be honest with you, I would have too. Of what I hear people say about him. I get mad for him. And so I have to walk away, to be honest with you. Because the thing is, I don't know if I just get mad or it's my righteous indignation, right? Because I'm like, you don't know how many people don't have to go to hell because of him.
Amen.
How many people been led to God because of his ministry? How many people been healed under his ministry? Not because of him, but because he continued to follow the plan of God. Even though persecution was there, it's there constantly in his face, but he doesn't allow it to move him. But he says, you know what? I'm going to focus on what you told me to do, God. I'm going to continue to move where you tell me to move. And so if we get distracted by persecution, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they left. Are you God? Are you going to bring them back? So then why am I going to upset myself? Or another thing is when if somebody leaves, people think it's their job to try to get them to come back. Are we God? So then why am I trying to put myself there to do something that only God can do? You might as well say amen, it's getting good. Amen. Because you know, y'all filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what interceding and supplicating for saints is? We say we do, but I don't think we do. Because the old time ago, I believe Brother Earl, no, I'm not saying you're old. I'm sorry that came out wrong, Earl. But I'm just saying he's older than me. I'm not saying he's old by no means. But y'all remember that story I told about Brother Hagin? He went to that church and he said after every Sunday service, this older lady would come up to the front and would groan and pray in the spirit. And he said every single night there would be backsliders or sinners come up to the front and get saved. He said because she was interceding for them.
Yes. Amen.
And then he actually talked about, I'm just going to throw this out here to y'all raw. Y'all could. Thank God that wasn't my phone. Whew, I was like, I left my phone on. Let me check it. All right. We're good. he said, you know, the reason, he said, God is actually going to hold a lot of churches responsible for believers leaving the church. I'll let y'all deal with that one. Amen. It's on interceding and praying for new believers, not converts. Anybody can be converted, but a believer being born again. It's on the actual church body as a whole, wherever the church is, to intercede for those people. That way they don't just come up, get saved, and they're gone forever. How many times have we seen that?
Amen.
Amen. So y'all going to have to study that one out. Amen. Because I ain't got time to talk about it. Amen. But he talked about that older lady would do that. And he said it was crazy. And then he talked about himself. He said one evening he preached a sermon and he got just a burden to pray. He said, I just got a burden to pray, and I started groaning. We ain't got time to go into all that, but it talks about, you know, like a woman giving birth groanings that which cannot be uttered and things like that. We will teach it one day. We will, because it just really burns on the inside of me. Amen. But he talked about that, and he said, so I just started interceding. He said, I thought I prayed for about 15 minutes. He said, when I came to, it was 3 hours. He said, whenever you get into the spirit, 15 minutes or 3 hours only seem like 15 minutes. Because number one, in the spirit, there is no time. But whenever we're praying and we think we prayed for 3 hours and it's been 15 minutes, we obviously know we ain't in the spirit. And a lot of times people want to give up right then. But if you continue to push, if you continue just to stay there and say, I'm not leaving, I'm going to stay here and I'm just going to continue to pray, you will hit a gusher. I'm telling you right now. And so he said, I was interceding. He said, and I knew it was for a sinner, because he said, I felt like I was lost myself. He said, but I knew I wasn't lost. He was pastoring. He was a preacher. He said, I knew I wasn't unsaved. He said, but I just felt like on the inside of me, like I was lost. He said, and then I kept praying. He said, and because his wife ended up telling him this afterwards, he said, my wife came up to me and was like, do you even know what you're saying? He's like, no. She said that he was sitting there praying. And then all of a sudden he said, while he was praying, he seen this, it was like a river of people just going along and just rolling off a cliff into the fiery pit of hell. And then he said, it's like I went off with them. And then he started going, water, water, I can't, it's hot, water. He said that he was just doing all these kind of things, right? But anyways, going forward, he ended up getting the note of victory. Amen. It's whenever you laugh or you get a note of victory, you're either laughing, amen, or you're just praising God. You know that you have a note of victory. And he said, so that night, he actually saw the man that he was praying for, matter of fact. He said that night, he actually saw the man and exactly what he was wearing, because he told the pastors he is there with. And he said, that's, you know, they looked for him, they saw him, and he actually came up to the front and got saved. And he was able to intercede for him. Interesting, ain't it? And then another time that this has happened, well, it's actually happened quite a few times. If you ever, you ought to read the autobiography of Charles G. Finney. Yeah. If you want to know about praying. Amen. Because, you know, obviously entire towns and everything like that came back to God, right? Yes. Because of the ministry that he had. Because he would always go out from 4 to 8 o'clock every morning and pray. Amen. Amen. 4 to 8 o'clock. He said, you know, you build yourself up and then you're able to give out. But if you don't build yourself up and you run around empty, everybody's empty.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so, like the lady was praying, Brother Hagin said, it's happened more than one time. He said he'd be praying. He said, and the next day, he said, all of a sudden, after that woman would pray, he said that night, one of the nights, because he was there, actually pastored that church for a little bit. One of the Sunday nights, he said he got up to pray or got up to preach. And he said just the power of God fell. And he said every sinner, every backslider, everybody that's done wrong or whatever, you know, he said in that moment's time was up at the altar to be saved. But yet nobody knows how they came down the aisles to get past everybody. I'm telling you, there's so much in the supernatural that just really I really enjoy studying and reading about it because it's very intriguing. But with persecutions, right? Right? And with what I was going to say about this older lady, a new pastor came in. He said, oh, we don't need that. We don't need that, and made her stop doing that. You know, we just need to, if we don't understand something, just stand back, right? Don't criticize it or anything, because, you know, they might find out how unrighteous we are or how much we just really don't know. But if we act like we know, then we don't look dumb in the end. And if it's God, it'll prove itself out. If it's not, it'll prove itself out.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Right, but with persecutions, right? Houses, brothers, sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with what?
Persecutions.
Persecutions, they're going to come.
Yes.
Persecutions are going to come. You can't get around it, right? You can't, because number one, we know persecutions are going to come. Amen? And in the age to come, eternal life. But we know persecutions are coming. But the thing is, we don't have to be scared of them.
Amen.
And we definitely don't have to be moved by them.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to be scared of them, and we don't have to be moved by them, right? At all. Turn over to, we'll go over to 2 Timothy first, please. 2 Timothy 1:6. Will you pull it up in the easy read, please? Sorry, I didn't tell you. Amen. I have it right here. He'll get it, though. There it is. It says, that is why I want you to remember the what?
Gift.
God gave you. Amen. God gave you that gift when I laid my hands on you. Now I want you to use that gift and let it grow more and more. And this is a very interesting part we need to see. Like a small flame grows into a fire.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Like a small flame grows into a fire. And then the Passion, it says, I'm writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle.
Yeah.
And rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you when I laid my hands upon you. Amen. Is the Holy Ghost a gift?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Turn over to Galatians 5, please. God bless you. Please don't do that again. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Galatians 5:22. We can read it. King James is fine. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Holy Ghost, right? Where is the Holy Ghost at? If we're born again and if we have the evidence of speaking in tongues, he's on the inside of us. Right? Right? Amen. I agree. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What?
Joy.
Peace. Long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Amen. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. A very interesting word, long suffering. Not a fun word sometimes, but it's a good word. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and this isn't some kind of you know, we can't allow Satan to convince us, oh, you're just suffering for God on like pains and things like that. No. That's we don't suffer what Jesus bore on the cross. That's the thing. And we need to settle that within ourselves, right? We need to make sure we get that settled. I can't suffer with what Jesus already suffered, because now I'm trying to say I'm equal to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to read this to you real fast. It's from Brother Hagin. It says, walking in the God kind of love is profitable. Walking in love pays off not only in this life, but also in the life to come. All of my Christian life, I've refused to harbor the least bit of animosity, ill will, or wrong feelings. Can't believe how they did me. Can't believe they would cut me off in traffic like that. Can't believe they would say that. Amen. Or wrong feelings toward anyone. If the least bit of ill will or animosity toward anyone tries to creep into my heart, I get after it.
Amen.
I get after it. I won't entertain it for a moment. So once an ill thought of animosity, wrong feeling, wrong anything, no love, you know, just anything towards somebody else, he attacks it immediately. Yes. He doesn't even give it time to even make a full thought. Because if it's there, he gets rid of it. Why? Because he understands what love is and what love accomplishes in our lives.
Amen.
I won't entertain it for a moment. Unforgiveness and wrong feelings toward others are more deadly than any poison or rattlesnake bite.
Amen.
Unforgiveness and wrong feelings toward others are more deadly than any poison or rattlesnake bite. I believe that's one reason why I've been able to walk in what I call divine health for many years. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Jesus and what the Word will do. I'll tell you one thing about walking in God's best. If you want to walk in health, you're going to have to walk in love and keep your tongue.
Amen.
Amen. I'll stop there. But we saw that these fruits of the Spirit, they're obviously where?
In us.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, sir. In us. Say in us.
In us.
Say, matter of fact, say in me.
In me.
You know, we don't have to pray for a revival of love or for God to rain down love.
No,
you know, we did a lot of praying over the years about wrong things. We prayed for joy. We've prayed for peace. But yet, if it's in us, why am I praying for something that's already on the inside of me?
Amen. Amen.
That's why it's never been answered. Because if it's already on the inside of me, all I have to do is access it.
Yes.
But if I'm not accessing it, then it's never going to be used. So I'm trying to pray for something that I already have. And God is just looking at us almost cross-eyed going, huh, so I saw they have it, don't they? But and I'm saying we because I'm putting myself in there, just haven't accessed it all the time with the long suffering, the love,
Amen.
The joy, the peace, the kindness,
yes, sir.
The goodness, the faithfulness. We just haven't. Accessed it, and so it hasn't been able to grow. Because let's talk about a bodybuilder. We do all the time anyways. It's a great reference for an image, right? So what if a bodybuilder goes, you know what? I'm just going to work out my right arm, and that's it. And you know, my left arm should get big because I'm really working out my right arm. And so he just works out his right arm. Is anything going to happen with his left arm? That's going to, and he's going to look lopsided and weird.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it sounds like whenever we pray to God for peace. He's like, what? I thought it was on the inside of you. Access it. Use it. Because that's how it grows. Every time we access it and use it, it continues to grow on the inside of us. Y'all know that, right? That's how the fruits grow. The Greek word translated fruit refers to the natural product. Of a living thing, right? Yes. Paul refers to fruit to help us understand that it's a product of the Holy Spirit who lives inside every believer.
Amen.
Amen. Like physical fruit needs to grow, the fruit of the Spirit will not ripen in our lives overnight. That's the thing. Yeah. Like a successful gardener must battle against weeds. Yeah. Amen. Yes. To enjoy the sweet fruit they desire, we must constantly work to rid those things out of our life.
Amen.
And to continually yield to love, joy, peace. Amen. Because if they're on the inside of us, then we're able to yield to them and to allow them to work in our lives and not work against us. Some of these things, it's kind of working against us, but once we realize it, that's on the inside of me. I can access that anytime I want to access it.
Amen.
But am I? That's the thing. Well, that's the question we got to ask ourselves. Am I accessing these? Am I putting these to use? Are they growing? Have I been a Christian? That's how you can tell a mature Christian as well. The fruit's growing. Because if I've been a Christian for 10, 20 years, and I'm still getting mad over the same thing, I obviously have not been exercising my love. I haven't. If I still get mouthy with waiters and waitresses, I obviously am not exercising kindness. Because what is going on in their life today? You just want it to be about you. Because that's a good Christian right there, right? Because that's how you win people over? No. He said yes. No. He just misunderstood me. Amen. Because if we're going to be an image of God, then we need to be the image of God, right?
Yes.
And love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Amen. Yeah, and gentleness and self-control, they're all there, but we have to access them.
Yes,
we do, individually. We have to stir that back up on the inside of us. Amen. It's like a joy. Joy, what do you have to do for joy? Ha, ha, ha. Well, I sound stupid. Well, either you want joy or you don't.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to try to convince you of it. If you don't want it, sit there. I don't care. That's between you and God. I shouldn't say it like that. I'm sorry. I don't care. I do care if you get it, or if you exercise it, but I can't make you. That's the thing. I can't make you have self-control. I can't. That's between you and God. That's why I love the fruits of the Spirit, because it's something between me and God, not something between me and you.
Amen.
That's something I have to work on. And if you ever read the Bible, you notice that everything in the Bible is actually pointed towards me, myself, something I have to do.
Yes, sir.
To access the promises God has already gave me.
Amen.
Right? So whenever persecutions and things come, we should not be surprised by any means.
Amen.
We shouldn't. I'll tell you a quick testimony real fast about me. Come to find out, our insurance just quit. It's like July 2nd. So I've just been driving around. Found out yesterday. Really. And I've been with them for about 11, 15, 16 years. Right? Really, we did awesome. How to thank God for the Holy Ghost helping us.
Amen.
Didn't get mad and I laughed.
Amen.
But it was touch and go for a moment. Because I was like, how in the world are y'all just going to give up my insurance and not let me know nothing?
Amen.
That don't make any sense. So we finally got it all figured out. We got insurance. Amen.
Amen.
But I didn't want to choke anybody on the other side. I didn't yell at anybody on the other side. Amen. Amen. Because number one, is that person in charge of that company?
No.
Is a waitress or anybody in charge of that business? I know they need to be nice, but if they're not nice, should we be not nice? How should we act? Love, kindness, self-control. Because we don't know what's going on in this individual's life. They might need something and just they're really trying to reach out. But if we're just really focused on us, I can't believe they would mess up my order again.
Come on.
Glass been empty, start banging your spoon on your glass. Hey, I was with somebody not that long ago. He didn't have any more drink in his glass, and so he held up his glass and started shaking it. I said, what are you doing? Put your glass down. You ain't going to sit with me and start shaking your glass at this waitress. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to happen. You can go sit at that table over there by yourself. You ain't going to sit with me, though. Because they're doing the best they can.
Amen.
They are. And if they're not, as soon as they see the love of God on you, they'll start.
Amen.
And then they'll start asking you, you know what? What's different about what's going? Why are you so happy? Or why? What's going on? You know? Well, no, just I have the love of God on the inside of me, and I exercise it daily.
Amen.
Daily, I have opportunities every day to walk in love.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
Do I choose every one? I miss some of them. I'm gonna be honest with you, but I just repent, say I messed up. But I ask you to forgive me, God. I'll do better next time.
Amen.
Amen. And I do. Amen. As long as we're just real with ourselves and not trying to be some holy thing that we think's untouchable, amen, we'll be fine.
Amen.
But persecutions are going to come, and we shouldn't be shocked by them, and we shouldn't be rattled by them. And we shouldn't allow them to rattle us. We shouldn't.
Amen.
Amen. People are going to get mad. I'm telling you right now. People will get mad. People will get upset, and people will say, well, you're just this minded, or you're this minded, or you just talk about this. I got to sit down with an individual a few weeks ago, me and my wife, and we was talking, and they started asking us questions, things like that, and then a question came up about stuff, and then I just told him, I said, well, to be honest with you, you know, we've been teaching on this, 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 and this, but you haven't been here. I'm just going to be real with them, but you haven't been here. Oh, you're right. I have been missing. I was like, I know. So it sounds like we're just teaching this and this because that's the only times you've been there. But if you'd been coming these other times or watched us online, you'd see that we've been teaching this, 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 and this, and this.
Amen.
And they're like, okay. All right. So see, it's just sometimes people just kind of want to throw their feelings at you almost.
Yeah.
So you just kind of got to get them. Just get them back to themselves. Say, it's all right. We'll get this together. We'll get it going forward. Amen. We're not getting mad at people. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not. I'm going to tell you right now. Because that's one thing, that's a detriment to my health and my finances. And I'm not going to give somebody else that kind of power over my finances or my health.
Amen.
Because for them to, for my, for the, for, let me get that out. For me to allow them to get me mad and out of love is giving them the power over my life. Why am I going to do that? Not today.
Amen.
Not today.
Amen.
No. I ain't going to give you that kind of authority over my life, that kind of power over my life. No. I'm going to continue to walk in love, though. I know that. Every day of my life. Amen.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Amen. So whenever persecutions and things do come, or you know, if you know, hard times or whatever it is come, what are we going to do? We're going to exercise the gifts that's already where?
Amen. Inside of us.
Are we going to pray for them?
No. We're going to exercise.
Amen. Are we going to pray for them?
No.
We're
going to access
them. Are we going to pray for them?
No.
No. Why not?
Because
they're already on the inside of us.
Yes.
So all we have to do is yield ourselves to them. Just like we've been yielding to anger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do I yield to it? Just like we've been yielding to anger. Amen. That's how you yield to it. You know, it's like somebody cut you off and you just, idiot. Just like we yielded to that. Yes. Yield to love. Ah, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. I really want to drive you off the road, but I'm not. It's a practice. It's a. Are you going to master it first day?
No.
How long does it take fruit to grow on a tree?
A while.
Amen. See, there's times where growth is, it's required. I'm telling you right now, growth is required as a believer. We can't stay a baby our whole life. We can't. We got to grow. Amen. That's very important for a church body as a whole to grow and to grow together as a unit. Amen. Like a well-oiled machine. Amen. And so that's what we do. Amen. It's already 8. I just noticed that. Amen. So, amen. Did y'all get anything out of that?
Amen.
Amen. You and me both. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. And I thank you, Father God, for opportunities because, Father God, we know once we teach on something that we are able to walk in that, that the opportunity of that will be exposed in front of us. And so we'll have the opportunity to exercise in these fruits of the Spirit that's already on the inside of us. So, Holy Ghost, we just ask you, sir, to help us. Help us. Just, and if we mess up, just we'll recognize it, we'll repent of it, and we'll back up and then continue back forward.
Yes.
Because I thank you, Father God, that you're just. As soon as we ask you to forgive us, you do it immediately. And it's under the blood immediately, and it's off in the sea of forgetfulness. And I thank you, if you don't remember it, I don't either. And so I thank you, it's like starting right over. Glory be to God. And so I'm able to move again. I'm not held back by how I've been acting. Because I've repented of that, but now I'm able to move forward. And so we thank you. We thank you for these opportunities that are going to arise here shortly. And I thank you, Father God, we will pass them with flying colors. And if we don't, we'll repent and then we'll continue forward and then just still pass them with flying colors. Amen. Glory be to God. We are not going to fail this. Amen. We are not going to fail this. But I thank you, Father God, for helping us, leading us, and guiding us. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said,
amen.
Amen.